Welcome to Modern Day Missionaries, a podcast by Modern Day Missions created for missionaries by missionaries. I'm your host, Stephanie Gutierrez. Are you frustrated by fundraising? In this episode with Dr. Steve Shadrach, author of The God Ask, one of the most well-known books on raising support, we talk about the fear of rejection, feeling stuck, and how the way we see God affects our ability to be successful in support raising. And get ready for some practical advice on how to increase your monthly support and gain long-term financial stability on the field. Welcome to this episode of the Modern Day Missionaries Podcast. Today, I am joined by Dr. Steve Shadrach, the founder of VIA, which was formerly the Center for Missions Mobilization, which also included Support Raising Solutions. And he's the author of the well-known and widely read The God Ask, which I've personally read and think is fantastic. He's written three other books along with that as well. And Dr. Shadrach has a master's in biblical studies and a doctorate of ministry in church and parachurch executive leadership. And he has been serving in ministry for years in all kinds of various roles as a pastor and ministry leadership, as the founder and executive director of several ministries. Right now, you're currently mentoring college students we were just talking about. And since 1986, he's been living on personal support. So when we talk about support raising today, Steve knows what he's talking about. This is a very personal journey. And Steve, it is a personal journey. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. What inspired you to write the book? Were there some specific experiences that led to the insights that you share? How did that all come about?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Stephanie. It's great to be with you. I was a pastor for a number of years, but I struggled with some of the pastorly duties, but I loved college students. That was back in the mid-80s. I'm showing my age now. But we started a ministry called Student Mobilization, and we all were, you know, required to raise our support. There was no magic pot of money that was going to pay our salaries. And so, my pastor that I left this church staff gave me 6 weeks of severance pay. And that does have the word sever in it, severance, you know. So I was going to be on my own in 6 weeks' time. And we had a 3-year-old, 2-year-old, 1-year-old, and newborn. And that has a way of motivating a man, you know. So I had never gotten any training, but I went out to talk to every single person I'd ever met or known in my life just about. Share with them this vision of reaching college students for Christ, and then asking them, come on to our monthly support team. And within 6 weeks, by God's grace, we were at full support. And so that was how I got started. And so I lived on support since 1986, started training our own staff, but then decided to put together some training that I could train our own staff and other staff people how to raise their support. And ultimately took that seminar and wrote a book called The God Ask. But I can't take much credit, Stephanie, because, you know, I've never really had an original thought in all my life. Aren't we all just a compilation of what God and others have poured into us? So Scott Morton with the Navigators and Ellis Goldstein with Crew, Campus Crusade, they're mentors of mine. I learned so much from them. And so a lot of the God Ask is simply things that I have learned from others and put into a real practical and biblical perspective for, you know, Christian workers really around the world to launch their ministries and get to full support.
Which I really appreciated. I loved reading through the book and seeing quotes and ideas from other people. I think it adds validity to what you put together. It's not just something you made up one day that you know works for only you. There is so much wisdom in the world, and I feel like you curated it into a place where it really was packaged well. But then you did create a model called The God Ask, and I think there is a unique approach to it. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about what that is.
Well, we were actually trying to name the book, and at one point it was going to be a dry, dusty manual called Personal Support Raising or something like that. And my close friend
I know.
Give it kind of a cool name that helps, doesn't it? But, my longtime friend, Todd Aaron edited it, and he just slashed like 20,000 words from it to make it a more readable, you know, move it out of the dusty dry manual to actual book. And then a missionary actually in Kenya, we were kind of doing a little fun contest to come up with a name. And he said, name it The God Ask. Well, I Googled The God Ask and there was nothing there. There was nothing when you put The God Ask in quotes, you know. No, it's a, you've messed up. You've rearranged the words somehow and there's nothing there. But his idea was when his name was Tom Stickney, when he made a ask, it wasn't the Tom ask, it was the God ask. Before that appointment, he had gone to the Lord and say, Lord, please, you superintend this meeting. You lay it on their heart if you want them to join our team. And then you're even asking that person, that potential donor, we want you to go to the Lord. And you go. And so it creates this triangle that both parties are going to the Lord to make that God ask. It's not the Tom ask or the Steve ask. It's the God ask. And it really kind of removes some of the fear of rejection. That's why we don't go into personal support raising is we, you know, that's why a lot of people don't do evangelism. We're afraid to be rejected. So it's more about us than it is the Lord or the kingdom many times. And so, so the God ask, there's a diagram in the book that kind of explains that. It's very simple, but just to know that there's a third person in that appointment, not just you and that potential donor, the Lord himself is there. And so you can count on that. I think that really makes a huge difference.
You know, Steve, speaking of all those voices that you brought into to enrich your book, you have a quote by one of my favorite quotes in there by A.W. Tozer. And it says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is one of the most important things about us. And so if we weave that into support raising, how does the way we see God impact the way we're able to support raise?
Well, some people have been critical that we spend, you know, over half the book, you know, talking about our perspective on this topic before we ever get to the how-tos. And so why didn't you just go straight to the how-tos and give us the goodies, you know, on how do you make the call and how do you do the appointment? How do you make the ask? Well, those are very important pieces, but, you know, if you have the right perspective, the right mentality, the right views, the right, you know, heart, motives, intentions and all, you'll find a way to raise your support. I mean, you know, I have a particular method. It's not the only method. There's other methods out there. This is just one suggested method. But the point is, the why is always the bigger question than the how. And if you have a strong why, you'll figure out the how. And so the why is tied to who God is. Is he a loving, providing, all-sovereign God in control of all things? Does he love us? Does he want to provide for us? Did he come to earth? Did he model some of these things on living on the ongoing support of others for his own expenses, his own ministry? In Luke 8, it's obviously that Jesus did that. And so, just the idea of who is God, and then has he called us into ministry? And if he has, and we're confident of that, then we can progress with a lot of confidence and not have to be as afraid. I know there's fear in all of our hearts, but to be able to proceed knowing that God has loved us, he called us, he's going to provide for us, and all the perspective changes that go about when you have that kind of biblical basis. It forms a foundation to kind of operate from that you can have a confidence level and also to persevere, because it's one of the greatest challenges of your life to start from scratch, raise your entire support, get to 100% before you report to your assignment. I've come to the conclusion, I used to say support raising was about vision and relationships, but I think I've added a third thing, and it's really about character also. Because it requires a tremendous amount of perseverance and to walk towards your fears in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that takes some Christ developed character, I think.
Oh, well said. I couldn't agree more. You know, another thing that you brought out that really caught my attention was you delve into spiritual warfare. And I have never read another support raising book that talks about spiritual warfare. You talk about how entering into it, speaking of fear, like you said a second ago, it's like we're stepping into this. It's not just like we're stepping in. We actually are stepping into a spiritual battle. And it feels like a battle. I'm sure everybody listening can think of many times where it felt like a war or a battle. How is support raising spiritual warfare, and how do we engage that correctly?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that topic is addressed by so many people, so many groups in so many different ways. But, you know, I personally, it has to begin and be a thing where you're saturating it with prayer, you know. So before, you know, it's like Bill Bright with the founder of Campus Crusade, you got to talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. And so this idea of just saturating that appointment with prayer, saturating that person with prayer, saturating your own life and your own presentation, your own words with prayer, you know, it can feel awful man-made in the sense that I'm making the phone call, I'm doing the appointment, I'm making the ask. We just produced and published a book here recently called God's Presence. It's a companion tool to the God Ask, because it can feel very humanistic or man-made or self-driven, you know, efforts. And this is written by Scott Morgan, one of my mentors. He was vice president of development with the Navigators for decades. But he wrote it, and it really is to help the Christian worker to realize that God is at the center of this, and he is in charge. And yes, we do have an enemy that's trying to thwart us, that's trying to defeat us. If Satan can stop us during that support raising period, that first month, that third month, that 6th, 10th, 12th month, 14th month, whatever amount of time it takes, if he can stop you, wow, he's going to now, you're going to be redirected to some other profession, some other, you know, job or something. And those thousands of people that you were going to focus on to lead them to Christ and make disciples and send missionaries around the world and all the kingdom impact, you know, in some respects, he was able to thwart that and stop that impact because we gave into the enemy and the fears and the schemes that he has to you know, sidetrack us. And I don't know. I, you know, as I read 1 Peter 5, his objective is not just to distract us, is to destroy us. He's like a roaring lion, you know, prowling about to seeking whom he may devour. That's a strong word, devour. If he can devour us before we ever get to our assignment because of the support raising, wow. He chalked that one up as a win on his side of the ledger for sure.
Absolutely. Well, and to add to that, because we have listeners who are prospective or new missionaries, but we also have a huge segment who are already missionaries. And sometimes you think about support raising in that pre-launch stage, and then you get on the field and there's just this feeling like it should continue to work. But I've talked to so many missionaries and been a missionary myself where you hit those bumps and supporters fall off or things happen or for various reasons. And you realize the battle's not over once you get there. It's just begun. So what would you say along those same lines to missionaries who are fighting that fundraising, support raising, spiritual battle while they're already on the field?
You know, as a man thinks within himself, so he is what Proverbs teaches. And I think a lot of it has to do with our own perspective. If I view support raising as just almost this necessary evil, it's just agony. It's just 100-pound weight on my shoulder. It's just, you know, I'm just going to sludge through this thing and somehow, you know, finally, if I get to the finish line, you know, and just crawling and that's done with, and I never want to have to do that again. And, you know, somehow, some way, if I can, in other words, I can either view this whole process in a negative light, or I can view it in a positive light. In fact, I've come to the conclusion, Stephanie, the greatest mobilization strategy that God ever came up with is this idea of personal support raising. And the reason I say that is because think about your life. You're at a stage in life where you probably have 1,000 different people that you've known during the course of the years you've lived. And let's narrow down those to the top 100, your network of the top 100. And if you're going to raise your support, you're probably going to go to those 100. Those are the people who know you and love you, and there's trust and history and relationships. And so now God calls you into ministry and he requires you to raise your support, right? And he's going to plop you down right in the middle of that network of 100. And now you're going to go set up one-on-one appointments with those 100 people, sharing about the Great Commission, sharing about how they can impact the world, sharing how they can invest resources to advance the kingdom. And then you're going to ask them, would you like to join? Would you like to join my team so we can impact the world for Christ? And so I can just about guarantee you, I've been around the block a few times. I'll be 69 in a couple of weeks. Don't tell any of your listeners, all right?
It's a secret. Keeping it right here.
I know. Oh, thank you. But I can just about vouch that they will never in their entire lifetime ever have a one-on-one appointment with a Great Commission worker where they're going to do that. They're going to take them through the vision, you know, answer their questions, ask them to come on their team, zip the lip, and let them answer. It'll never happen. If it happens one time, and really, so you have the opportunity of a lifetime to mobilize this God-given network that's yours. If you don't mobilize them, they won't be mobilized. It's a customized, personalized network. And so, yeah, you can view it as, woe is me. This is difficult. I wish I could have a guaranteed salary check each month and just not have to go through this agony. Or you could go, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Now I get a chance for the once and for all to mobilize the 100 people on this planet that I care about most to the person and purposes of Jesus Christ. And if I pass this up, if I punt, if I let the enemy somehow take me out, or if I said, I think I'm just going to make phone calls and text people and email or something and not do the face-to-face, oh boy, we are missing out. I think when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, look what these 100 mobilized people, look at the multiplication, the ripple effect all across the planet by you mobilizing. This is God's greatest mobilization strategy, that Christian workers around the globe mobilize the 100 people that are closest to them. It's transformative. It's transformative to the whole kingdom worldwide.
Well, and you touched on something there through how you were describing it. This is a lot of work. It's not something where we can just send a text and expect that people are going to jump on board. Or if I just post enough on Instagram, people are going to call me and say, how can I give to you? And we can get so busy with the work of ministry once we're on the field that we just feel like, oh, I need support raising to just continue working. I don't have time for that because I need to be investing my time here, which is important, which it is. We want to be present where we're at. And yet we can't expect this wheel to keep moving. So what are some of the ways you would suggest people can put that effort in maintaining supporters and gaining new supporters while still being on the field?
We've worked with, I think, over 2,000 organizations over the last 24 years, I guess. So we've worked with all kinds of groups, all kinds of people. One thing that we all have in common, Stephanie, it seems like it's human nature. We all think that I have a legitimate reason why I can't get to full support. You know, and so after every seminar, after every little workshop, I can see them walking down the aisle. Steve, we really appreciate what you're saying, but you don't really understand our situation. Oh, really? Is that right? I try to keep a straight face as if I'm about to hear something new or different. No, the point is we all have a reason. We all have an excuse as to why I can't get to full support. So I think if we could just say, okay, I'm going to man up. I'm going to woman up. I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to take full responsibility for my life. I'm going to take full responsibility for my ministry. I'm going to take full responsibility for raising my support. No excuses. Just put them out. Just put them out. And I'm not going to report to my assignment. This can be controversial at times, but each organization has to decide what their policies are. But I will not report to my assignment till I'm at least 100% support, not pledges, but at least 100%. And of course I go way over that. I want to build a nice, strong, long-term buffer. And so I think that your missionaries and those that are listening today, I don't know what their ages are. They're 25, 35, 45, 55. I don't know. But at some point they're going to have to say all ages, all stages, but they're going to have to some point say it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time to be fully funded. I'm going to quit limping, you know, just to get to the end of the semester. I'm just kind of a cripple to get to the end of the year until I can send out some emergency emails help, you know, we're going down unless you help us, you know. No, I think it's almost like a baseball illustration where first base is getting the full support. You can't get to second or third or home till you get to first base. And so what is it going to take? We did a seminar number of years ago, a lot of them for campus workers, but it's the 10 keys to help you get to help you finally get fully funded this summer. Finally get fully funded. So first base in this my little illustration is getting the full support where you don't have to worry about once a guy's on first base, he doesn't have to worry. He's safe. He can now focus on second base. And second base in my little illustration is projects. All the workers out there, they have their personal support, but then they got a ministry where they need to raise support for materials and conferences and scholarships and travel and all the projects related to that. Well, if you're solid and set at first base with your team, boom, you're ready to focus on second base. And the older you get, the more people on your team, they're waiting on us. They're going, I appreciate, Steve, you asking me for $100 a month. Appreciate that. But when is your vision going to expand beyond your own personal team? When is it going to expand your vision beyond just the $100 or $200 a month? When are you going to ask me for bigger gifts? When are you going to challenge me for more? And of course, third base is when you continue to grow in leadership and you're now helping literally raise funds for the organization, not just project, but you're trying to mobilize some of your key donors to really get behind the whole vision. And so, you know, out on the field, Stephanie, I'll stop here, but out on the field, it's funny. I've had people over the years tell me, if I was just a missionary, I'd be able to raise my full support. But then I've heard missionaries tell me over the years, well, if I was back in America and I wasn't over here in, you know, Africa, I'd be able to raise my full support. I go, well, which is it? Which is it? You know? And so yeah. I think it's neither, and it's both, where let's quit making excuses. Let's get the full support with a great buffer. Let's provide for our family. Let's provide for our ministry. Let's focus on the person and purposes of Jesus Christ and get our team solid. First base, I'm safe. I'm not a cripple. I can move full speed to second base and really have impact. And I know that's kind of a big boy talk, but it comes a point in a man's life, a woman's life, a couple's life where they go, it's time. Either we're going to do this or we're not going to do it. What is it going to be? Sorry to be so blunt.
No, thank you for being blunt. You have to have that type of determination to do something like this. You have to have a faith in who God's called you to be and what he's called you to do. If you don't, it's not contagious. Nobody's going to pick up on that if you don't believe in your own vision and mission. So let's say then, Steve, we've got, let's say a single person, a young couple, an older couple. It doesn't matter who it is. Let's say it's you. You're listening. And this person's listening and they're like, okay, Steve, I believe it. I believe in who God is. I believe that he wants me to ask him for big things. I believe he wants me fully funded. I am praying. I'm working on my character so that I can feel confident. I've got my vision and my mission clear. And let's say that we're there on the field. So they're serving somewhere around the world and they're at 70% support, but they're struggling to pay some of their bills. They're pinching pennies hardcore. And they're thinking through maybe an upcoming trip to the States or wherever their passport country is. What kind of practical things can they get ready for that trip? Or let's focus on that. Let's focus on that. Because, I mean, I know some people can't take trips right now. But let's just focus on, let's say I'm going to take a trip back to the States. How can I set myself up for success when I'm headed there?
Well, I think caring for your supporters, not just emergency emails going out or something, but what is that steady diet? You know, every other month or something, you're getting some sort of an email out. You got somebody here in the States that's doing your mailing out for you. It's a vision driven piece. It could be an email version. It could be a printed version or both combination, but it's vision driven. It's all about the ministry. It's about reaching, you know, these young people in Uganda. You know, it's about planting churches in Asia or whatever the ministry is. So make sure that your attitude and all your materials that you're presenting, it's about the vision of reaching people for Christ. And it's focused on lives are being changed. I appreciate Bobby, you know, playing football and Sally doing ballerina stuff. And, you know, but it doesn't need to be about the family. That's just a small portion of your reporting back. It's all about the vision of reaching people for Christ. That's why people are giving. They're not giving to pay your bills. They're giving because they want lives changed. So I think the consistency and the quality and the topic of those communications needs to be, you know, well done. And so as someone is getting ready to come back to their home country, I'd really be evaluating and not just using newsletters. There's other ways to communicate. Think of all the technology that we have now to communicate. And so when I have an upcoming conference, I sit in an airport for 2 hours. I travel a lot in different countries. And so there I am in the airport for an hour or two. I am personalizing and texting, you know, my donors name by name. I'm about to do this. I'm about to train these workers. I'm about to be in this country. Would you pray? And so there's a lot of personal ways you can get them involved and feeling involved and being involved. But then I would make a list. If I was in another country and I was coming back to my home country and I needed to raise more support, I would go before the Lord. I said, Lord, this is it. This is it. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this again. This time I'm going to get fully funded for a lifetime. I'm not talking about for this year. I'm not talking about for 2 years. I'm talking about for a lifetime, especially if you're married, you have a wife, you have children, you have a team that are looking to you. Leadership is modeling. Modeling is leadership principle number one. And so we had some staff over for dinner the other night from a different ministry, and they were asking my wife, she was there, she had fixed us a great meal, and says, what about all these years on ministry? What has been most impressed you? She said, the way that my husband has provided for our family and for our ministry. Well, I kind of felt, you know, well, thank you, honey, for sharing that. Let me reward you, and for being so kind to me about that. But I think it just for the sake of that spouse, those children, that ministry, to say, okay, now it is time. It's time that I'm gonna do this once and for all. I'm not gonna come back to my country till I am fully funded. I mean, fully funded. And so I'd make a list. I'd make a list of every single person I've ever known. I'd say either who have I not approached yet? Who have I approached and they said no or not now? Is it time to go back to them? I would make a list of the people that are currently on my team. And every 18 to 36 months, I'd be asking them to increase. Will you increase? I'd then be asking ones that were on my monthly team, is there some sort of an annual anchor donor team that I could ask them to be part of? Yeah, they're giving $100 or $200 a month or something, but could they write a $2,500 check each year? Could they write a $5,000 check each year? Could they do more? And then I start pairing up projects with people. What about all the Bibles we want to give out here? What about all the travel here? You can start dividing your budget, especially your ministry budget, up and start pairing it up to people that you think would have an interest in this area. I do that all the time. And so those are just some ideas, you know. And then are there churches? Are there foundations? Are there companies beyond just individuals that would have a heart for wanting to invest in us? And then I would travel. Once I get back, I wouldn't do the email thing, wouldn't do the phone thing, you know. I wouldn't even do the Zoom thing Riverside thing or whatever it is, you know, face to face. Well, Steve, that takes time and money. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It does.
But so I would take that time.
I appreciate, again, your bluntness with us. I appreciate your emphasis on how much work this takes, because I think when we think this is going to be something easy or simple or just come out of nowhere, that's when we're not prepared to do the work that it takes. Yes, we serve a supernatural God. And yes, He's going to do supernatural things in our finances, but we have to be willing to step out in faith and do the work to step through those doors that He's opening for us, or find the doors that are open that we don't see yet in that discovery process. You know, Steve, one thing I really liked that you talked about along those lines, when you were mentioning the importance of understanding your own vision as really being the key to sharing it with others. And you have this idea about creating an almost like a personal FAQ page where you write out all of the questions that you think people might ask you, the easy ones and the hard ones. And then you practice answering those. Maybe you've got a friend who's really good at playing devil's advocate and they're, you know, they can ask you the questions that almost feel aggressive or like rude that somebody might actually ask. But then you have a chance to practice answering those out so that when people don't, when they ask you those questions, you're not caught off guard going, because that is the worst thing that can happen in a meeting when you're stumbling over your words and you don't have the answer. So say a little bit more about how did you come up with that idea or where did you see that coming into play with certain missionaries you're working with?
Well, the preparation piece, like you mentioned, Stephanie, is so important. You know, I think the way that we plan to raise support is the way we raise support. The way we raise support is the way we do our ministry. And so when I see someone that has really done an excellent job of preparing to raise support, an excellent job actually raising their support, it tells me something about how they're going to do their ministry out on the field. If they cut corners and they're sloppy and they're just kind of winging it, you know, and it tells me a lot about how they're going to do their ministry. So don't underestimate people watching and listening and evaluating you. I'd like to spiritualize and say they're just going to listen to the Lord and let God tell them whether they should come on your team. Well, yes, yes. But what are those indicators that God will use to impress them or unimpress them, right, about how they're going to come? So we do a lot of role playing, a lot of training. If someone has never been through what we've been doing for 24 years now, I guess, I don't know how many people have been through them, tens of thousands of people. Now they're in different countries and languages around the world, but I call personal support raising boot camps. And so, someplace around the USA every single month in some major city is a personal support raising boot camp that your listeners, your followers could sign up for one. A lot of preparation, a lot of Bible study. To me, that's the key. The thing that will keep you in the saddle over the long haul, especially when tough times come, and they will come, is do you have a biblical conviction? If you don't, we're gonna jump out of that saddle. We're going to say, the Lord has led me here, and the Lord has led me there. And I don't think I'm supposed to be in full-time ministry anymore. Really. I've heard a lot of those over the years, and some of them are legit. I'm not going to make a decision on which ones are or not legit, but I can tell you, we do all kinds of consulting and coaching and audits and surveys for organizations all over the world on this particular area. One major organization, I won't mention the name of it, but they had quality, sharp staff, but they were losing 90% of their staff out the back door at some point because partly or mainly due to personal support. Whoa. So I think the whole training component that has to include personal Bible study, and that's big for us. I mean, to come one of our boot camps, I tell people it's between 30 and 40 hours of preparation. Can't come unless you're prepared. And about 15 or 20 of that is just simply personal Bible study. That's where you're going to gain your convictions. So if they want to go to viagenerosity.org to see where the boot camps are, we also have different trainings for missionaries that are currently on the field that need a booster, not the, maybe the full boot camp, but they need, you know, some mid-level, you know, helps to get them to that next level. We've got all kinds of tools that can help them.
So a theme coming out of today is like, take this seriously. Fundraising is not just something you want to think about once in a while, but if for people who are really wanting to take this seriously and they are not at that 100%, it's time to push some other things aside and go, this is going to be a priority right now until I get this set. And then I'm going to step back into some other things. And that might sound scary to some missionaries, the thought of setting some things aside to make this kind of investment. But to your point, it's a necessity. It's an absolute necessity.
It all depends on what you feel like your calling is. If this is kind of a one-year internship that you're doing, you're just going to kind of try out missions or try out ministry, and I'm just going to see if I can get through the year. Well, yeah, just kind of just wing it. But if you think this is what God has called you to do, and you think this might be a lifelong calling, And people sense that. People, when they're meeting with you, they sense whether this is, you're just going to try this thing out or whether you are in it for the long haul.
And
especially if you get married and a family and responsibilities. Wow. The games are over. The games are over. This is life and death. This is the kingdom of God. This is eternal versus temporal. This is what you're going to do with your life, whether you're going to be part of the problem or solution on this planet. And so I just think those kinds of convictions, those kinds of vision and passion has to really rise up and dominate us as we step out in faith, walk towards our fears and the power of the Holy Spirit, and get the necessary training, do the necessary preparation, do all that is required to get to full support and to stay at full support. And I'll add one more thought there. I think the idea of, you know, more and more organizations now have a member care department to them, which I love. Our organization, VIA, has a large, excellent, well-staffed member care department. We're in 24 countries, and so we've got all kinds of member care that we're trying to provide for our staff, say, different places. Well, what I've come to the conclusion is, Stephanie, the greatest member care that you can provide for your staff is to help them get to full support and to stay at full support, because it's the biggest felt need. Oh, they have other real needs, but I can guarantee you, I talked to a guy, if I could talk to his wife, say, what's the biggest felt need that you have? Or maybe even their children. Get to full support and stay at full support the rest of their life. It's one of the biggest member care favors, added values that you could ever provide for your staff. I promise you, it's a biggie. I think the biggest of all.
So. We have surveyed our modern day missionaries, and support raising always comes back as one of the top two things. Being financially set really on the field is one of the top two things that comes back every single time. And when I go and I have personal conversations with people, it's a reoccurring theme. It just kind of nags at you and does not go away until it's taken care of. Exactly. But there's something that happens when you resolve that tension that I think frees you up to be able to invest in what you're doing in a way that you never could before. Yes, so I could not agree more. I think that's why I love what we do at Modern Day Missions, is helping missionaries be able to receive that donation in a really simple way and connect with supporters easily. That was actually why our president started, because he said exactly what you said. He's like, I see all these young people who want to go out in the field, or any age people who want to go out in the field, and they can't figure out the financial piece and they're struggling. So there are organizations like VIA who are helping people figure out that donation fundraising process, how you do that.
Yes.
And then I love what we do at Modern Day, because we help make that the technology piece and the donation piece simple. It is. It's a big deal. We can just look at it and go, well, it's money. That's not spiritual. Absolutely, it is. It's using kingdom resources to further the gospel. It is so spiritual. And when people are leaving the field because of finances, you better believe it's spiritual. So thank you again for talking about that spiritual battle piece and about investing in this, not with what we do, but with our prayer and with our heart and our conversation with God. So, Steve, I'd love to kind of end on this question for missionaries listening who, they are stirred up. They have heard you. Their hearts are racing. They feel like this is God calling them to do something significant. Of all the things that we talked about today, what would be maybe a first step for somebody to take?
I think go to their prayer closet. Get before God. Psalm 73, 25 and 6, whom have I in heaven but thee? Besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail. Oh, it will fail. But you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh God, are you my God or not? Do you want to reach the world for Christ or not? Have you called me into this ministry? I mean, we're all called. The Great Commission is for every believer. But have you specifically called me and my family to engage full time? If that's the case, Lord, I want to take full responsibility before you. And I want to go look at my spouse right in the eyes and say, honey, it's time. It's time. It's time to trust God, to move out in faith, to once and for all get this thing done where we can have a solid long-term team because we're in this for the long haul. And I just think I'm concerned about marriages. I mean, one of my professors at seminary, Dr. Howie Hendricks, he would always quote a statistic. You know, he said he thinks up to 90% of divorces were partly or mainly due to financial stress. I think marriages have enough problems, enough stresses, you know, to have healthy marriages without bringing the whole financial piece into it. What if you could remove that? What if you could remove the financial stress piece? And now you could focus on your marriage and your relationship with God and your ministry and your family. You didn't have to worry about this. There's tremendous freedom in this. I mean, to walk in freedom, to know you have all the funds to do everything that God has put in your heart for your ministry and for your family. Scott Morton, my mentor, he was asked a question one time. He said, how much money should we raise? I thought he was going to give some sort of percentage or some sort of number or something. No. He gave one of the most profound principles I've ever heard. He said, raise enough funds to maximize the fruitfulness of your family and your ministry. Well, that's different for every person. Mm. I'm going to stand before God someday. And he goes, what did you do with that family I gave you, Shadrach? Yeah, it was just so tough. You know, the money was so short. We just didn't have this, didn't have that. We couldn't do this. No. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. What would you do with that ministry I gave you? Yeah, it was so tough to raise support. Lord, we had to skip here and cut back there. And he's going to look at us like, what are you talking about? My heavenly bank was nice and full. Philippians 4, did you not read Philippians 4, you know? And so I just think that answer that Scott gave might be a place to finish our time together on is raise enough support. Mm-hmm. Your family will respect you like crazy if you follow this one principle. Mm. Raise enough support to maximize the fruitfulness of your family. What does that mean? It's different for every family. Might mean for you taking a great annual vacation, putting your kids in Christian school. It might mean all kinds of things. I don't know. But also to maximize the fruitfulness of your ministry. What does that mean? If you could have enough money in your account to do everything that God has put in your heart, everything. That God is, you no longer have to ask, how much does it cost? One of the weakest, most embarrassing questions known to man. Here's a better question. What is God's will? And if you have the money in your account to do all that you believe is God's will for your family ministry, you're not only going to walk in tremendous freedom and power, but you're going to see God unleash some pretty significant things in and through your family and your ministry in the years to come, I believe.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. My husband and I just got back from Thailand just the other week. We were doing a marriage conference for missionaries out there. It's 27 couples from all over Asia. Mm. And different themes and topics came up as we were having conversations. And you better believe finances came up many times, the struggles that they're having. And in a marriage, I mean, as a single person that has its own, you know, challenges. In a marriage, sure, there's challenges because it's the stress that you put on each other. But to your point of positivity and opportunity, there is opportunity because you've got two of you. And maybe sometimes it is the man who is really dynamic and unbelievable at support raising. And maybe it's the woman. In our case, my husband grew up as an MK and he's just has the most fantastic personality. So he's amazing at presenting and support raising. Mm-hmm. I was a train wreck. I was horrible. But I learned through watching him became really a thing of strength for both of us. But I think it is. And with two people, you can look at each other, especially in the beginning, and go, who has the greater gifting in this area? And how can one support the other so that the message gets out clearly? So you got two instead of one. So there's good opportunity point. As well as, like you said, there's such a good, such a huge tension that it can cause. But if you can get together on a team, man, I mean, God can do so much with the two of you. So I appreciate that you brought that up about the impact on marriages. And then I love that you brought up prayer as a place to start, because I couldn't agree more. I mean, where else would you start without going to God? So on that note, Steve, while you were talking, I wanted to ask, would you be able to pray for all of our missionaries who are listening here today?
Yes, I will. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time with Stephanie. Thank you for this time to have this podcast. And thank you for those who will be listening and watching. God, those who are on support, Lord, right now, just comfort them, encourage them, help them to step back, step away, get some alone time with you. Just speak to their heart, speak to their mind. Lord, is this really what you've called them to? Give them a sense of your power and your presence in their life, that they could trust you and look to you and lean on you. But Lord, they would not forsake the work of the ministry. They'd get down on their knees and pray for you to provide, make the God ask, but then they'd get up off their knees and walk towards their fears in the power of the Holy Spirit. By faith, they would lay that vision out in front of the at least the 100 top people face to face that are part of their lifelong network. God, I pray you'd mobilize thousands and thousands of believers around the world as a result of those Christian workers who would even listen to this and take it seriously enough to want to mobilize their own network. God, we want to reach the world for Christ. That's your goal. That's your objective. You're using us to do this. And we know that support raising, that finances is a key tool that you've come up with, that you've designed, that you've called us to in order to make this kind of impact. And so we ask for your guidance, your wisdom, your courage, your blessings. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steve. Just appreciate you so much sharing everything that you did today. And we want people to be able to take some concrete steps outside of obviously prayer, character, all that you talked about, to be able to learn more. So I'll have a link to the God Ask so people can learn more. You mentioned Via Generosity. Any other things that they can do to begin this process of becoming fully funded?
I think that website, viagenerosity.org, we've been packing it for 24 years, it seems like now, with all kinds of articles and webinars and podcasts and tools and a lot of freebies and all kinds of training opportunities. And so, and then we're going language by language. We are, I don't know what countries the listeners will be in, but we're translating the God Ask and all those training into the 12 major languages around the world, and continent by continent, country by country, language by language. So you might get on there and see where some of the international trainings are. And we're not just interested in training Americans at all. No. Right so now, good. Today, the final day of 66 Ugandans there in their capital city are going through a personal support raising boot camp. And so country by country, how do we help the body of Christ there raise up and send their own workers? That's really what the goal of VIA is. And so if the greatest need is laborers, Matthew 9 is what Jesus said, we think the greatest obstacle of spreading those laborers around the planet a lot of times is the funding piece. So we're trying to attack that as well.
That's so good. And you're right. If they head over to VIA Generosity, I mean, the wealth of resources that is on there is outstanding. So they'll have to figure out just where to even begin there, because there's so much to.
No, that's right. That's right.
And I love that you mentioned those trainings as well. So yes, for everybody who's listening and you feel God stirring in your heart, you've got steps to take to jump into that process of becoming fully funded. So again, Steve, thank you for joining us today. We just appreciate you and all the work that you do help missionaries get on the field and stay on the field.
Thank you, Steph.
Yes. And for everyone else, we look forward to seeing you on our next episode.
Since 2008, Modern Day Missions has been providing financial, administrative, and marketing services to Christian missionaries around the globe. We're currently partnered with more than 750 missionaries in 75 different nations. If you or someone you know are looking for a nonprofit covering to fulfill your mission's vision, Modern Day could be the answer you're looking for. Find out more at modernday.org.